Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. Episode 38 for November 14th, 2007. The Llama's Giggle. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audio book and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by donations from listeners like you. Thanks. It's time for Net at Night. We're back. Yes, three in a row. Amazing. Amber MacArthur from Toronto. I'm Leo Laporte from Petaluma. It really isn't.
And Twitter.
And Twitter. I'm back on Twitter.
Leo, I had to go back on Twitter because of you.
Nobody joined me on Jaiku, and I got awfully lonely over there. It was all alone. Now, there were a lot of great people, but I missed people like Merlin. The only way I know what's going on with Merlin and his baby is by following his tweets. And I guess I didn't really have to post on Twitter. But, you know, the reason I left Twitter initially was because I was worried about people confusing Twitter and TWiT. And especially because there were a lot of these third-party things with the word TWiT in it, like TwitBox and TwitThis. I thought, boy, this is not good. And if I'm here, you know, as a big participant on Twitter, it's going to really confuse people. But I think that there's less confusion now. I think both companies have a good brand, strong brand. Everybody knows what Twitter is. I hope some people at least know what TWiT is, and I don't think people are confusing it. We're in different spaces. And what really kind of gratified me, and the thing that put me over the top, I was at Blog World over the Thursday and Friday last week, and Dane was talking to the woman who does T-shirts. Was doing T-shirts for Blog World, and they have all these cool geek T-shirts, you know. And willowtoons.com, willowtoons.com. And she was planning some Twitter T-shirts, and she said that they had used the word TWiT in some of them. And Ev specifically said, can you not use the word TWiT? And I was just kind of gratified that he was kind of looking out for us. So I thought, you know, there's no reason to keep this going. I miss being on there. I miss my friends on there. And I think the confusion is over. And somebody's got to stop Scoble. So,
when you say stop Scoble, you just want to.
No, stop. Scoble's a friend. I love Robert. No. But he's, you know, he's like the number one guy on Twitter now. So I want to take over the lead. Take my lead back. I used to be the number one guy on Twitter.
You could get back there, Leo, I'm sure. But
I don't know. I think I've lost a lot of ground.
No. I have faith in you. Always have faith. Don't worry about that.
The other thing that convinced me was I found a plugin for, you know, you know that one of the things I've been going through is moving everything back to WordPress because I was concerned about losing stuff on other services and sites. And, you know, I really think that I know Twitter is just kind of one line stuff, but it really is kind of a line by line description of what I'm doing right now and stuff I'm interested in. It's a microblog. And it scrolls off, right? It just goes away. So now I could put it on my blog with this WordPress plugin. And so it's never lost. So that was another thing that kind of convinced me.
Leo, you're an addict, okay?
Okay, that's the real reason.
You just have to face
that's
it.
That's the real reason I couldn't
just
stop myself.
Accept it. You couldn't stand people using all this technology and you needed to like eat it up.
Well, it really is a measure of the success of Twitter. I mean, you keep hearing, oh, did you see what, somebody Twittered and, you know, and you really want to be part of that. So I did. I felt like the party was going on and I was kind of standing outside the door. You know, it's so funny. So many people like Dane, Scott Bourne, a bunch of other people said, well, whew, now we can use Twitter. We haven't been using it because of loyalty, but now we can use it. Thank goodness. So, and I see you posted recently on Twitter.
Well, that's the thing is that now that you're back on there, it's good for me to be stalking you regularly. So, you know what, though, I noticed I posted just that we were recording that at night, and it's so funny how different Twitter is in the sense that it just feels as though there's way more people there than when it initially started. It just seems, and not that that's a bad thing, it's great for them, but it definitely it's quite
It's
active.
a big deal now. This is this Twitter thing. I think they got I got they got legs. They're going somewhere.
They sure do.
Yeah.
So I know we have lots of headlines, but first of all, I was going to ask you, how was Blog World?
It was really, really fun. I had a blast at Blog World. You know, it's a blog conference, and I was there with some other people like Alex Lindsay and Scott Bourne, Craig Severson, to kind of give it a podcast flavor. But it was still primarily bloggers, and so that was really fun. I love bloggers, and it was really fun. And I'm not a very good blogger, but I do blog, so it was kind of fun for me to be there and talk to them. They were very receptive. I gave the second day keynote, which is the worst slot, you know, because it's the night, the big party's the night before. Nobody's up. It's in the early morning, and yet it was a full house, and they were very receptive, and so that was fun. And one of the things I said is, this is my longtime campaign. You shouldn't consider yourself a blogger or a podcaster or a vlogger. Or you create internet content. In fact, the best way to do it is to create a variety. No podcaster should only be making audio or only be making video. You should do text as well and vice versa. There may be something you're better at. I'm better at audio. You're better at video. But we should also write, right? And bloggers should do the same. They should, if they really want to build a loyal audience, they've got to participate in as rich a way as possible on the on the internet. And so that's really kind of what I was talking about. And it was just really fun.
I think that's right. You have to do a little bit of everything. That's what I like right now is that I sort of have my, you do as well. I mean, I do an audio podcast with you, a video podcast with Command N, and then television as well as my blog. So it's just like this nice, you know, overall balance of, I guess it's not really balanced because it's a little bit exhausting, but it's lots of different types of mediums and you're able to kind of cross all these platforms. And I think that's more important all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the other thing that happened to me this week is we had Jason Calacanis on Twit. And, you know, unlike you and unlike most public figures, my Facebook page was personal. I didn't let other people, as you know, only people I knew in real life were on it. And Jason said, "What are you, crazy?" He finally convinced me. He said, "You got to understand, these are the people who care the most about you and what you're doing, who are asking to be your friends on Facebook or MySpace or any of these social networks. Why would you turn him down?" And Anil Dash at the conference made a good point. He said, "We don't really have a good way of saying, you know, you don't, in real life, you'd never say, 'No, I don't want you to be my friend.' It's kind of it's an insult. It's rude. And we don't really have a good way of doing that on social networks." So I've opened my Facebook page. I know I'll run out of 5,000, and a few people have tapped out. Scoble and Justine have both tapped out of 5,000. Are you probably pretty close to 5,000?
I think I'm getting up there.
Yeah. So I decided, you know what, these people care enough to want to be my buddy on Facebook. Who am I to say no? That's very rude. And it is a great marketing platform. I mean, I'm not all about marketing. Maybe that's kind of a flaw. And I'm not going to become this great marketer who's promoting myself every, you know, on Twitter and Facebook and everything. But I do have a goal. I've decided, you know, it saddens me that more people don't know about Twit. It's not whether they listen or not. It's whether they know about it. And I think that, you know, I meet so many technical people who would love the shows we do. You know, a lot of people are really into Web 2.0. I've never heard of Net at Night. It doesn't make any sense. I talked to people at Blog World. I talked to a number of people. One guy said, you know, I feel like if I listen to Net at Night, that's how I keep up with what's going on in the space. And I think there are a lot of people who would feel that way and they just don't know about it. So I've made it my goal over the next year. This is my goal for 2008, just to get the word out, to do whatever I need to do. As it's hard for me to market, I'm not a big marketer, but to do what I need to do to get the raise the awareness. And if that means doing Regis and Kelly or do more speeches or whatever it is, that's my goal, just to raise awareness of what we're doing here, because I think we're doing some great stuff.
Oh, definitely. I feel like I feel like it's like a therapy session for you, because you've had to admit that you're back on Twitter and you're letting people into Facebook doing all these things, Leo.
I've been a very bad man.
I know, that's what it feels like a little bit. Now you have to get back. You don't like to market yourself, but you have to do it, Leo. You have to do it for all the geeks out there.
The thing is, you know, we're all figuring this out as we go along. I mean, it's all a mystery. But what I haven't done very well, and I've seen people do so much better, is get the word out about what they're up to. And I've just been kind of sitting here in my corner doing this, and you know, and I watch, you know, Revision 3, just they were at the new TV conference you were talking about last week.
Yeah.
They just announced they're doing a partnership with Blip TV to co-promote their shows. And, you know, I'm not even at the new TV conference, let alone making any announcements there. So I feel like, you know, maybe I should be taking a higher profile. I don't know. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm a sit back.
That's the problem with some of these things, though, because I tend to agree with you sometimes, is that there's this really fine line between marketing yourself and, you know, crossing this line to where it's kind of cheesy, right?
Yeah,
and
nobody wants to be friends with a pushy person.
No, you don't at all. And there's something sort of modest about just kind of being a little more low key. And I think that it is somewhat appealing, but I agree that sometimes it's good to get the word out there and do things that maybe put you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, hey, come on, look at it. You know, there are a lot of shuckers and jivers out there in the world, and I'm not,
yes.
I don't want to be one of those. It's just really about getting people to know about what we do. And then if they decide they like it, that's great. But I just, it bugs me there are 14 million computer programmers in the United States, 14 million, and only 1/10 that number, no, 1/100 that number listens to a Twit podcast. So where are the rest of them? I want 5%. That's all I ask. That's all I ask.
That's reasonable.
5%. Anyway, and it's not just for me. It's really for podcasting in general. I think that's part of the problem. Now, we had very good news today. I got the new Zune came yesterday, and right on the front page, podcast, right on that menu, you could subscribe to podcasts. It's the first time Microsoft has really promoted podcasting the way that Apple has with iTunes. So I'm hopeful that that will introduce a new group of people to shows on the internet.
Yes, the shows on the internet. I like how you're switching up the language too, Leo.
Well, it isn't just podcast, is it? It's all sorts.
I hate that word. I'm hating the word podcast more and more as time goes on.
It sounds diminutive. It sounds like, oh, you have a little podcast. Someone, blog is the same thing. Oh, you have a little blog. No, I have a website. Oh, you have a podcast. No, I have a show. I have a show on the internet. This problem is there's no better word.
I know.
If you can come up with one, please. I mean, I like Netcast, but it doesn't do it either.
No. I know. It's a lot to think about, Leo.
My mind is reeling.
Really?
How's your week been?
My week has been good. It's been busy. I was in Florida, as everybody knows, from last week. But I arrived home. Actually, I took a 3 a.m. I got up at 3 a.m. on Monday morning, and my flight was at 7 a.m., but my parents had to drive me from Ponce Inlet all the way to Orlando. And so then I went straight to work. So I was at work for, like, I don't know, 9 hours or so. It was just a crazy, crazy long day. So that was... It was interesting, but I kind of like that. I was so exhausted that everything just kind of rolled off my shoulder. Like, I don't even remember anything. I was just in such a blur. So
that's a good state to be in. You're so tired that you can't bitch about anything.
Everything just is fine. Okay. You know, you have no issues with anything. I kept saying to people, I might not remember this tomorrow. So just accept that. But yeah, things are good. You know, just busy at work and working on the new show for City TV, which is going to be launching relatively soon. And just, you know, juggling a bunch of different things that are going on right now. But I kind of like that the best, I think.
You keep very busy, and I love that. You've got Command N, you've got this, you've got your TV show Web Nation, and I'm sure you have 13 other things I don't even know about. Do you get to do any web design still at all?
Well, I'm working on a project right now. I have briefly mentioned it to you. I know. I work on a project with Tony Robbins that...
Wait a minute. Whoa. Slow down. Tony Robbins?
Yes.
Wow. The big tall guy?
Yes.
The motivational speaker, Tony Robbins.
Exactly.
Oh, that's cool. How'd you get involved with that?
He was in Toronto and I interviewed him for Web Nation. Had a really great interview with him and then got a chance to go see him speak, which was amazing. And he's so awesome at his job and definitely is able to kind of get a crowd pretty excited. So that was a good experience. And then talked to him as well as a partner of his who's working with him on this new website that they're building. I guess I can't really say a lot of details about it. At some point I asked them when I'll be able to talk about it on Net at Night, and it would be even great to, you know, maybe get him on the show. I'm sure he would be up for doing that and talk about it a little bit more. So I am working with them a little bit on web strategy for the site, which is fun. I miss that so much. It's just so creative, you know, cause I don't know how you feel, Leo, but at the end of the day, TV's like, it's a little bit dumb, you know. You kind of going through the motions, and I like it, and I enjoy the creative process. But sometimes you just want to, you know, dive into another challenge that's totally separate, where it's not about, you know, your kind of on-air performance and you know, delivery and remembering things and scripts or whatever it might be. But just something where you can kind of sit and you know, think about better ways to present something online. So I'm really enjoying that.
Well, you know, when you're a smart person like you are, and you're an intellectual, working in television, while it's fun and it's exciting, it's gratifying, isn't mentally satisfying.
No, it's really not. And that's been a kind of tough thing for me, is that I like doing it. And I think I will continue to do it. You know, for a while, for sure, you know, maybe many, many years, but I don't, it'll never be all that I do, because I just don't think it's enough for me personally. You know, it just isn't intellectually stimulating enough. Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, it's good for some things, but I need a little more. So anyway, I'm following your lead, Leo. You're like my mentor.
I don't, you know, it's funny. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, how can I do less?
I think that sometimes, but then I have an afternoon where it's free, and all I think about are all these great ideas about what else I can do.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's the problem, is that, you know, I think, oh, I'm going to take some time and just, you know, relax. And then I relax for 3 hours and I think, oh, I should really start this project. And I get all these great ideas, and I just start brainstorming and thinking of things. So I realize I just got to stay busy, or else, I don't know. It's not good.
Yes.
Not good at all.
Well, you have a lot of energy. We have a guest coming up, so we should get to the notes.
I know. We're rambling on forever, Leo.
But we're going to go back to Florida in just a little bit to talk with somebody about a new website, Connect to Elect, that's been getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, it's a really interesting website, and we'll talk to Jason more about it. But the idea behind the site is to really help you go through the motions as far as figuring out possibly the candidate that you want to vote for in the 2008 U.S. presidential election. So very interesting site. So we'll talk to him a little bit later. But first, we have some links. I don't have all the categories that we had last week, because I know we have a guest, and I know we only have a certain amount of time on the show. But we are going to start with news.
All right.
As usual.
Let's get to the news. And now I've got to record some stuff.
That was great. I'm just bugging you, Leo.
What's our first story, Amber?
Our own sound effects. Our first story is about, actually, it's a kind of a political story as well, about Barack Obama, his visit to Google. I don't know if you read this on TechCrunch, but he was speaking at Google, and he had a lot of things to say about technology.
Wow.
On TechCrunch, they're saying it's Barack Obama's Google-friendly technology platform. But what I thought was the most interesting is that they have noted that Obama supports net neutrality, and that he argues for it
on
the protecting free speech. And that was music to my ears.
Yay. Yeah. That's really good. I'm glad to
hear that.
That's
very good.
They're doing all the candidates, though. I think they try, or at least they invite all the candidates to Google.
Yeah, it's good to see. I mean, especially for us, I love seeing political candidates talk about technology and how they view the internet. It's always so interesting, because there's so many politicians, I think, who don't understand the internet at all, and you know, say things that don't make a whole lot of sense.
I bet some are afraid to go to Google because they don't want to be outed.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know what I'm saying? They're afraid because they know, oh, these guys are smart. They're gonna catch me not knowing anything about technology.
And then it's going to go on Google.
That's right. Everybody will know about it.
It will be on YouTube in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's probably a little bit scary. So that was some interesting news. Our next story I think is absolutely hilarious. There was a teenager arrested for stealing virtual furniture in Habbo Hotel, which is a social networking site.
Oh,
this is
please.
A very weird story. This a Dutch teenager was arrested recently for stealing furniture, and he's being charged for that. And it looks as though he stole about $5,800 US worth of furniture in the virtual world. And he had some acquaintances as well, some fellow teenagers who were helping him out. And they used phishing methods in order to lure and trick other Habbo Hotel users into giving their usernames and passwords.
Oh, this is a really serious hack then.
And then they got into their accounts, so they infiltrated their accounts and took away their furniture. I thought this story, I started laughing because I thought it was hilarious that, imagine when you're a teenager, you got arrested for stealing virtual furniture.
Oh, but you know, I remember when we were doing Neopets and you'd get hacked all the time and people would do stuff to your system. And that was, I can understand that. I really can.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a big deal. In fact, I just closed my MySpace account because it got hacked. Well, happened is I let my son, Henry said, look, you've got a lot of people want to be your friend. You haven't said anything. I said, go ahead, Henry. Here's the password. I let him in there. He started talking to people. He's in the living room typing. I'm in the bedroom. He goes, Dad. I said, yeah. He said, what's your favorite digital camera? I said, well, you know, I give him a name. Dad. Yeah. Okay. What do you recommend? And so he's typing all this stuff and I don't know what he did, but he added all these, friended all these people. But at some point, somehow it was great. I mean, it was kind of fun. People knew it was him, I think. But at some point, somehow we got hacked and somebody was using my account to invite people. I don't know if it's a well-known hack, like to Emily@hotmail.com or something. And it was coming from me. So I just closed the whole account.
Wow.
I never used it anyway.
I know you. I don't really use MySpace at all anymore.
No, it's all Facebook.
I have it
for
just
me.
Sitting there. Yeah. I think the problem I have the most with it is that I wouldn't mind just having my MySpace account sit there and I'll check it once a week and add new friends and just read comments. But because you have such a capability to post kind of spam and put images and all of those
things. That's the problem. It's those images. That's how they get hacked.
Yeah, and I just hate that. It's just, it's awful. You know, it's like someone coming in and, you know, spraying graffiti all around your house and writing, you know, sort of X-rated words.
Or stealing your furniture.
Yeah, or stealing your furniture.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So I think we're going to see, I bet you we see a wave. This is a whole new thing of crimes like this, where you're in Second Life and somebody, you know, messes. Well, there have been where people would, what do they call that when they mess with you in Second Life and they, like, remember that woman and they kind of took over her press conference and
I know. I remember that. I don't remember exactly what happened, but
there's a name for it. Well, I remember what happened, but I can't say it out loud.
Yes,
they had flying things going at her. Does that ring a bell? Do you remember it now, what we're talking about?
Yes.
Anyway,
definitely.
I think we're going to see a whole new kind of crime, virtual crimes. And I mean, how you arrest somebody in real life for stealing something in virtual life?
I know.
But I guess you have to, because it is a crime.
Yeah, I mean, you're hacking into someone's account and stealing it.
Yeah.
I just...
He's facing a fine of 4,000 euros.
It's
huge.
And it's interesting when you read these stories, because at first you read them and you think, is this some type of weird joke? It's hard to believe that this would actually be happening, but with that generation that's kind of grown up and they're in all of these just different social networks and they're in that space, I mean, it'd just be like people going into their local store and stealing candy or something, right? It's not, they just do it. So I think you're right. We'll see a lot more of that, but hopefully it doesn't happen to us, you know.
Well, it did happen to me. Somebody hacked my MySpace account.
Well, they didn't steal your furniture, Leo.
No, well, as far as I know, they didn't. They might have, but I just didn't notice.
You can't have much furniture or anything valuable in MySpace, really.
No, it's all
junk.
So
you're safe there.
It's all junk.
Exactly. And our third story out of news stories is about Marvel Comics. I don't know if you're a comic fan, Leo, at all.
I like him. I'm not like Andy Iannacco. Andy is like, you know, he's like the major comic book fan of all time, right?
Well, this is I'm not a huge comic book fan. My brother Jeff is, who works on Command N as well. And it turns out that Marvel Comics is putting some of its older titles online to reintroduce a younger generation to some of their comics like X-Men and Fantastic Four.
Oh, just so what that we need. More
distraction.
Yeah, right.
I love comic books.
I know, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who really... I know definitely a lot of guys who love comics.
Will Jeff be excited about this?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him about it yet, but I almost don't want to tell him because he'll probably think this is the most exciting thing in the world. He's one of those kids who, when he was younger, he had all these comics that he never opened, and they're all in these plastic bags, and they're filed away in this giant box. Yeah.
Oh,
he still
he's
has
a nerd.
Them.
He's a nerd.
He's a super nerd. anyway, those are our news headlines. Lots of interesting stuff going on online. And there's one thing that I have to mention, because last week, if you remember, we played the song from Sweden, Anna the Bot.
Anna the Bot. From which, what was the name of that band?
Oh, what's the name? Oh, what? Bass Hunter. Bass Hunter, I mean.
Bass Hunter, not Bass Hunter.
I just did it. I was looking at it thinking.
It looks like Bass Hunter, but it's Bass Hunter.
Bass Hunter.
Yes.
Okay.
Who knows how they say it in Danish? I mean, it might be.
Who knows? Anyway, so we had talked about the song, and we said we weren't really sure what it was about, but you said that you thought that it was someone in an IRC chat room.
Yeah.
Well, I got a ton of emails from people. This one in particular from Sean from Denmark. I sent you the email as well.
I see it, yeah.
And it's talking about Anna the Bot, and it's saying that, in fact, he was in an IRC chat room, but it turns out that Anna is not really a bot. In fact, she was a real girl in the whole story, and that there's even a Wikipedia entry.
I'm looking at it right now.
Anna the Bot.
This is a number one hit. So we're just ignorant Americans. We didn't know what's going on. There have even been covers. A spoof of the song was top of the charts in the Netherlands. It's that well known.
See, Leo, and I find this so fascinating because I'm always, even when I'm going through links to find Foreign Net at Night, I'm always trying to go to websites from other countries because, you know, I get the same news in Canada as you probably see in the U.S. and, you know, even Australia. But I love to know, like, culturally all these interesting things that are going on in other countries. But it's sometimes hard. You don't really know where to go to access them. And that's the best thing about Net at Night is, and I'm sure other Twit podcasts, is that you have listeners all over the world who will email you stuff like this. Like, I got a bunch of emails, including other links to other songs by, songs that are popular in Finland. And I just love that. It's just kind of fun.
I think it's the best part of this job is you know, I had dinner with the CEO of AMD on Tuesday night, and it was really fun. It was a round table panel. We were talking about innovation and so forth, and I was very honored to be asked. But one of the things that he pointed out, he said, you know, we're a worldwide company. You got to understand, the U.S. is 5% of the world population. We're a tiny little fraction of the overall population. And so, you know, what we think is important, I mean, we have a long way to go. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
We often don't pay attention to the things we do. You know, I don't know if you, was it on this show, I think, or was it on Twit? My daughter is in a production of Hamlet this weekend. And, you know, Hamlet was a Danish prince, right? At least according to Shakespeare anyway. And they wanted to do, recordings of To Be or Not to Be going on in the background in Danish. So I mentioned this was it on Twit? I might've been on Net at Night. Anyway, I got several copies. I got Morten Nisker. Thank you, Morten. Recorded, Hamlet in Danish for me. John Tobin did. There were a lot of people who stepped forward, and I have many copies of To Be or Not to Be in Danish. I want to thank them all, and we'll be putting their name in the program.
See, that is amazing.
Isn't that
That's
cool?
The type of thing that I love. I love that. And in fact, our best web idea for the week is from another listener.
Oh, save it because we've got to interview our guest. Should we do that first?
Yeah, let's do that first, because this, I think his web idea is a pretty good one.
All right. And then we're going to interview our guest. But, you know, before we even do that, he's going to talk about Connect to Elect, which is actually a really interesting site. Before we do that, though, I do want to do our Audible commercial. Connect to Elect is all about the elections, and they're coming up. And I do think that we're going to have the U.S. elect. See how provincial I am?
It's okay,
the U.S.
Liam,
elections, the presidential elections in the U.S. And it's a big deal here in the U.S. because President Bush has completed his two terms. He'll be gone. So it's going to be a somebody new no matter what. Looks like the Democrats, which is the kind of the left party in the United States, has the inside track because the Bush party of the right has not done such a good job with Iraq. And a lot of people are very upset about that. It's going to be a very interesting election, and I think the most informed electorate in the history, because partly of the internet, but also because of things like this. Audible.com, they're our sponsor. You know, they do these great audiobooks. 45,000 titles, audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. If you want to get a credit toward a free book and join Audible, find out more about it. But they have now a section called Election 2008. And I just love this about Audible. They're very civic minded. In the past, they've put free copies of the debates up and stuff. So if you missed the presidential debates, you could listen. They have a 2008 election store where you can go look at books by and about the candidates. They have it divided up. So they have all the Democrats' books, all the Republicans' books. They have books on the issues. They have, of course, all the pundits, too, like Ann Coulter, Al Franken, weighing in on the election. And these are all books you can listen to. And what a great way to get educated in your long commuter. You spend time at the gym or gardening and you just don't have time to read all this stuff. You can read Hillary Clinton's biography or autobiography. You can read Barack Obama's autobiography. All of this stuff is online. Just interviews with many of the candidates. And some of it's free, which is neat. They're really, I think they really do a great job of this. AUDIBLE.com. Just one more reason to love Audible. I tell you, I drove down to San Francisco yesterday. It was like 3.5 hours on the road.
Yeah, your blood pressure was very high. I read that on Twitter.
Yeah, but thank goodness for books on tape. They just keep me, and I don't know how I did that, but I did it for 12 years listening to Audible.com. If you have a long drive or just you like to put some great content on your computer, on your MP3 player, of course, all the iPods, or even burn them to disk, you can do that with your books from audible.com, audible.com/night. We do thank them for their support of Net at Night. Now,
we definitely, now more politics.
More politics. So who is our guest?
Our guest is Jason from Connect to Elect, and we are talking to him. He's back in sunny Florida, and I'm jealous.
Hey, Jason. So hello, Jason Breed. Where are you? Where is Connect to Elect?
Well, Connect to Elect is part of Neighborhood America, a Neighborhood America offering, and we're actually based in South Florida.
Great. Naples.
Nice.
In Naples, Florida, right.
Beautiful Naples. Oh, that's nice. Well,
thank you
for letting us talk to you.
No, absolutely. Thank you for your interest.
I'm trying to think actually where I first saw Connect to Elect, but I think it probably was on TechCrunch the first time I saw it. I think
sure.
They did a review of you guys. It's a pretty neat concept. So why don't you tell us about the site?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Connect to Elect was really brought about from kind of the mindshare of Neighborhood America around creating high value interactions using a social media approach. And, you know, what the goal was really to put out a, you know, kind of a positive message and a positive solution into the marketplace. And we chose to do it around the election process in a attempt to allow people to cut through some of the rhetoric, some of the sound bites and political jargon you hear out there, and really get into the issues and have one place to go to really understand what's being offered as some of the solutions and the platforms that the candidates are promoting, and really where they stand. And
so
that was the whole premise of this.
So what's the experience like? I go to connect2elect.com.
Correct.
And I create an account.
Yes.
Then what?
And what happens then is it begins to build some attributes of of what you are, kind of some demographic information about who you are, first off. And then it asks you to, once you complete that, then it asks you to start to get into some of the attributes of what you think a candidate should be. For instance, should they have a business background, or should they have served in Congress? Should they have a family that relates more to my core beliefs, for instance? You know, and then it begins to ask you about some of the hottest topics of the day. Things like everything from border control to the war in Iraq to the healthcare issues and all the main topics going on right now, and kind of where you stand on those issues. You have the opportunity to rank in importance. So if you feel very strongly about healthcare in the country, you can put your stance on healthcare and also rank it by importance. What we do once you've completed that is we take all that information, all those attributes, and really the core beliefs of from you, and then put that into an algorithm that matches takes a look at the attributes of the candidates and matches the closest ones to you. So you get a visual map, really a community map of who is most related to your core beliefs. So it's very interesting. You know, it cuts through the whole politics side of it. It cuts through party lines. It cuts through popularity contests, and it becomes very interesting on who matches up with your core beliefs.
So Neighborhood America's business is doing social networks for big companies.
That's exactly right.
So you had kind of this platform, but this is more of a public service site.
Yes, that's exactly right. This is one of our offerings that we do periodically to, number one, kind of showcase our capabilities, and number two, provide a valuable service. Our belief is really around, the fact we're not real interested in getting thousands of people together with and creating no value. We'd rather create a high value situation, create a high value interaction, and do that through some of the social media capabilities that are out there today.
Now, there are a lot of candidates. I think I read somewhere that maybe there are up to 100 different candidates.
I defy you to name 12. Of course, you're from Canada. You wouldn't know.
I can name a few of them. But how do you actually go and get all the information and kind of categorize that as far as the back end of the system? Because really, in a nutshell, what it's doing is giving you a recommendation of which candidate you should potentially vote for. But there are so many out there and so many different attributes. How does the back end of the system work?
Well, so one, I just want to clarify one thing here. What we're trying to do is help individuals get to a point where they understand what the candidates are about. We're not trying to influence an election here. So, we're not trying to tell people who to vote for. We're simply trying to match up attributes of candidates and who most closely aligns with your core beliefs. So that's really what we're trying to do here. And then you have the opportunity to choose. This is the technical part of it is one piece of it. Then you've got to like the person. You've got to, want to listen to them for 4 years, right? I mean, so there's another kind of a softer component. But what this does is helps you cut through all the rhetoric, all the marketing, all those things, and get to the core beliefs and who stands for what you believe in. Then from there, you can take those, top five, top six, whatever it is, and really begin to research those people. So that's kind of really what we're intending to do. What we're doing is, you're exactly right. There are about 100 candidates out there and running in some shape or fashion. Really the news media, let's call it, really follows and tracks about 17, 18 candidates. And that's what we follow as well. So what we've done is through some pretty exhaustive research, what we've done is asked all the candidates what they're, where they stand on these issues as well. We've gotten responses from a majority of those candidates. We have backed that up with research. So we're not letting them tell us what they want us to hear. We're actually going in and looking at their positions, if they voted in Congress, for instance, or if they've, stated some positions in some of the recent CNN YouTube debates or any of those. Matched them up with the research and put in really where they have announced that they stand.
This is going to be probably the most informed electorate, I think, in American history, because not only is there Connect to Elect, but there are sites now where you can find out who took money from whom. You can find out. I think it's great. You can find out what people's actual stances are from their votes. Are politicians? Do you expect politicians to pay attention to Connect to Elect? What is their reaction?
You know, it's interesting. You know, when we started this and contacted the candidate parties, the committees themselves, there was interest in, you know, what we were doing. And effectively, once we got it up and running, we invited them all back to come in and run through the process themselves. And mm-hmm. and every one of them that we got feedback from actually said they matched up exactly perfectly with their, you know, it was, you know, the somebody in their, in the candidates group there, you know, actually went through the process. They matched up exactly. So we're very, very comfortable in the research we've done. And you know, we expect now that we are starting to get, we've got about 4,000 people signed up right now in the past 4 weeks. So we're getting some pretty good traction. And we expect that with the 4,000, with the information, as you go through this, you'll begin to understand that the depth of information we have. But with 4,000 people and the depth of information we have, this is a lot more relevant, we believe, than the NBC Wall Street Journal polls that, you know, list, I think, about 160 some people that they asked, questions like, have you heard of Hillary? Have you heard of Barack? Have you heard of, and then one of the last questions, so they're just doing, have you heard of these people or not? And then they're asking, if you had to vote today, who would you vote for? And they're getting, 16% say this, 18% say this, and they're doing some straw poll type of work from there. You know, our numbers are matching up very closely with that. I think the USA Today Gartner poll has, I think they do about 100 people a week. And so they've got about 1,200 people that they're basing their work off of. We believe the social media platform is going to enable us to get a lot more coverage, a lot more people in the country who want to participate in this medium, as opposed to a 30-minute phone call on asking if you've heard of this person or not. And we believe also that the information we have, it's very interesting, we match up exactly to the polls of who's kind of in the lead and who's following, and you know, with Clinton and Rudy Giuliani kind of the number one, two out there, our polls are matching up exactly the same. What's really interesting though is that's on the question of who do you believe is the best leader and who do you believe would keep America safe, and those are the number one, twos that are coming in from there. But if you look at the attributes that people are actually selecting, it's quite different. It's very interesting. People are actually looking for and have a belief and are choosing much different platforms than what the two leaders are actually stand for. So if you look at green, green efforts and renewable energy and that, those are the top thing, the top attributes that are being selected in our profiling, yet, you know, Hillary Clinton's platform really doesn't talk much about that. So, you know, when we look at who people, the attributes that people are selecting and who the candidates most line up with the majority of what people are really looking for, they're completely different.
Could that be, just out of curiosity, because I work in mainstream news and I find that the online world and the people who might engage in something like Connect to Elect are very different than kind of the general population that is watching TV to get a lot of their news. So do you think that could just be a difference based on the audience that you have on the website? Because their concerns are maybe more so the environment or other things, but they tend to not have the biggest voice in mainstream media.
Amber, that's you know, we went through that whole cycle as well, and that may very well be the case. But like I said, when we're asking them questions, and part three of this, after you select your attributes, you are asked four questions. The first question is, who do you think, which candidate is the best leader? The next question is, which candidate would keep the U.S. safest? Mm-hmm. And those answers are coming back in the popular poll. Basically, who would you select, without asking, who would you vote for? We're asking them, who do you think is the best person for the you know, most productive, most valuable position in the U.S., right, or the world, arguably. And they're coming back with the same things that are being registered in all those polls. So we're getting the same answers from who would you vote for today, basically. But when people are, when we look at the attributes that people want out of their candidates, those are lining up much differently. And they're the same people. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to look at different angles of this, like, what are we actually are these candidates actually becoming brands? Is it the best marketer who wins? Not necessarily the platform that the people believe in the most.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Very interesting insight.
So for people who want to go sign up and test it out, it's entirely free.
Absolutely.
And what about the information that you have to give at the beginning? Because I know there's a lot of personal information as far as your zip code and that type of information. I'm guessing you aren't sharing that with anyone?
No, that's correct. You know, what we're looking for is really a way to aggregate data out. And, you know, we want to find... So let me answer that question very specifically. We are not selling any personal information, period. Okay? And then... Let me go back then, and there's some very interesting things that will come out of some of these straw polls, some of the primaries, for instance, in Iowa. It'll be very helpful for us to look at the Iowa participants right before the primary, and then follow up with some of the results. We'll begin to get a real good feel of how our platform is matching up against the actual results.
Interesting.
Do the candidates, you think they'll come and look and see and maybe modify their campaigns based on what they're reading here?
We actually have been monitoring everybody's stance. You know, if you notice on some of the debates, some of the first debates, some of the candidates have supported one thing, and then some of the next debates, they are kind of supporting different things and their stance on, you know, for instance, bringing troops back,
right,
and the time frame of that. And as we are continuing our research and really keeping track of all those things, we're inviting the candidates to come back and modify those stances and to keep that as accurate as possible.
Great. Very good.
Well,
we appreciate your time. Yeah, this is fascinating. And I think this is just one of many ways that people can get much more involved in the campaign than ever before and really find out what candidates think for real. And that's a great idea. What a good use of social networking. Thanks for your time, Jason.
No, absolutely. Thank you for your interest. And, feel free to check it out at connecttoelect.com. That's connect2elect.
That was Jason Breed. He is with Connect2Elect. And he got that plug in there right at the end. connect2elect.com. I still don't quite, I don't really understand. I guess the idea is just for people to find out more and to see which candidates you connect with. It'll help you vote, I guess, right?
I think that, you know, people are, in my opinion, one of the reasons that I thought it would be a cool interview is that I think people are a little confused, and they're always confused about who to vote for and about the issues, because all you see in mainstream media is kind of, at least I know in Canada, this happens during elections, it's little sound bites, and it's, you know, candidates attacking other candidates, and you don't really hear so much about the issues, and it's hard to decide who you should possibly vote for. So I think what's neat about this site is that it's kind kind of the beginning as far as figuring out what your values are and aligning you with a certain candidate. And I think the site's, you know, in a kind of an elementary phase. And I imagine during the next election, there'll be something even more advanced there to really help people. And I just think it's cool how there's all these tools online that are making such an impact on this election. It's really, really incredible.
Let me mention another one that is really great. It's called maplight.org, M-A-P-L-I-G-H-T.org. It's a nonpartisan group. Now, it's not presidential politics. Well, actually, I guess they do. They have a presidential fundraising widget, which you can watch the funds be raised. But really what it's about is where is the money coming from? And they cover both California and the U.S. Congress. And they're using public records. They're collating it all. And it is an amazing site where you can see who is, you know, raising, who's getting paid by whom, what lobbyists, what contribution, who's getting. In fact, what you really see that's fascinating, you can look at bills in front of Congress and match them to donations from those special interests. And you could see how people vote. This is the kind of information. This is where the internet sings.
Oh, I totally agree. It just there's quite a few sites out there. I'm trying to think of one right now where it talks about different candidates and how they're using social networking websites in their campaigns.
Well, they're very good at manipulating the media, right?
Oh, they're amazing. It's not that hard.
And it's very easy. But if you only get your information from mainstream media, and I think most people do, you're not going to get the story. So for president, that's maplight.org. And then if you want the presidential money, where the money's coming from, presidential fundraising, opensecrets.org is a great site also. And they have who raised money from whom. It's kind of amazing.
And Leo, that's where it's an interesting case where, you know, on television, people would love to find out about these websites. They would love to actually get the content. And that's what I'm always arguing about, is that I think people more than anything, and this is something we've talked about at great lengths, but people really want content. They really want to be educated. They want information, even though maybe they don't really know it. And I think a lot of people on television and radio really are not doing their viewers or listeners a service, because they're not really giving them information that can kind of empower them. And I would love to see sites like this on television. I mean, yes. I do a bit of this in my reporting.
I'm sure you do. Yeah.
But it's rare, you know, and that's where a lot of the good information really lives.
I'll leave you with this quote. This is from opensecrets.org. U.S. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid. He's talking about Congress. Here, we don't do anything on Fridays and Mondays. We travel. We go around raising money. We don't vote. We're down to 2.5 days of work around here every week. And that's because they have to raise money all the time. All the time.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get off our soapbox here, but just, you know, this is nonpartisan. It's all about getting the information. And boy, with the internet, there's no reason to be ignorant. You can find this stuff out.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to give you the best web idea that we talked about before we went on our political rant.
I stopped you. This is from Bruce Clark, and I stopped you.
I know you stopped me, but that was very good radio, Leo, where you stopped just as I was about to say it.
I teased you, see?
You did. Yeah. You know your stuff, man.
I know what I'm doing.
I know. I'm always on my toes.
You gotta be, baby. Gotta be.
Yeah. I gotta be. So this is from Bruce Clark, and it's a site called Animoto.com. It's A-N-I-M-O-T-O.com. And it's a place where you can upload your pictures and music to the web app, and then it builds a customized video. So it's kind of like a slideshow, but they've done a beautiful job of it. So you can upload pictures and music, and it kind of puts it all together and creates this very interactive slideshow that looks really, really slick. So he recommended it, and I checked it out and thought it was it did a great job. You can go to their site right now, and you can see that they have a demo up of what actually you'll see when you actually put together a slideshow like this with music. And it's just, you know, I think all of these services are getting better all the time, any type of service to create a slideshow or a movie or whatever it might be online. And this is definitely...
That's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I'm actually familiar with it because Megan Maroney on our Jumping Monkeys podcast talked about this, and she actually made one. I'm going to see if I can find the link. She made one with pictures of her kids.
Aww.
Isn't that cool?
That's great.
And it puts
that's
music
cool.
behind it, and they're moving around. It's really fun.
What I love is the little quote that Bruce sent that says, Animoto Productions is a bunch of techies and film/TV producers who decided to lock themselves in a room together and nerd out. Our kind of people.
They've succeeded, so, obviously.
And lots of fun. And now for our next pick, this is our best music pick. And you know what? This isn't exactly a song that I like, but I'm picking it as a music pick because it has to do with news about Prince.
Prince? What is going on with Prince?
Well, you know, I really hated him months ago, and I might still hate him now, when he went after a lot of people who were putting up his music and images and anything that really had to do with Prince online. And,
he practically shut down all the fan sites, saying you may not have images of me on the fan sites.
Exactly. And he really went after the people who support him the most. And in our world, that's just a gigantic no-no.
That's what I'm talking about here with the Facebook thing. You know, you got to love these people.
Exactly.
They're
best
fans.
He went after all of his fans.
He wanted the fan sites, and they talked about the top fan sites, to remove all photographs, images, lyrics, album covers, and anything linked to Prince's likeness.
That's crazy. And what's interesting about this is three of his fan sites actually joined together to become PFU, and that's Prince Fans United.
Oh, is that what that stands for?
I know. Isn't that great? So they joined together to try to get an agreement with Prince so that they were able to keep their sites up and running with photographs and all of that stuff because they were saying there's really nothing wrong with them doing that. They were saying it wasn't unlawful on their part.
Fair use.
Exactly. And I guess Prince has eased up a little bit. I thought that was kind of funny. So he actually gave the fan sites permission to post a new song of his called PFU. It's supposed to be like P-Funk, but it's kind of like PFU.
It's actually with PFU in there. You know, it's funny. I can't remember. I think it was Jason Calacanis on the last twit was saying all they have to do is put commentary between the lyrics and then they're completely protected by law. But I hope that Prince has got... Shall we play a little of this? PFU?
Yeah.
He's kind of gotten the light here. This is from Prince. He wrote a song just for them. I suppose it's okay to play. We're a Prince fan podcast. Yeah.
Right. We're part of the PFU.
Yeah, we love Prince.
Drop it now. I'm stopping now. Get it now. Here he comes again. He's gonna try to ruin my day. Never had a reason to dog me out. Them devil make them do what they say. 9 times out of 10.
Sounds like a chipmunk.
No. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that.
Never be the one to sell your
Am I doing something wrong? Is it be playing back wrong? It sounds like his voice is all...
I don't think
this is,
so.
This
but
is the flash right off the page, Prince Fans United.
Leo, you know what? You actually stole my great, hilarious line.
Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. Wait a minute. Let's play some more and they'll forget I said it.
I'm around fun, stop you going right. Down, ask him how it happened, yo, he don't know. But I don't care what people may say, I ain't gonna let it ruin my day. Around my dad for a basket full of lies is born.
That's Prince and P-F-U-N-K, or P-Funk, his new song, kind of to kiss and make up with the Prince Fans United, the websites he was trying to shut down.
Can you imagine if you decided to shut down any sites where you had fans who posted pictures and posted tweets?
Give me my pictures back, bastards.
It'd just be awful. I can't even imagine. Anyway, I hope he comes around because it's so funny because I've always been a Prince fan.
I love
Prince. And I've gone to his concerts. And as soon as I heard the news about him clamping down on some of the sites, putting up photos and music of his, I completely had this huge hate on for Prince and it has not gone away. So
there's something going on. He's maybe lost his marbles. Because, you know, he gave away his album free in England. That was really cool. Made all the record companies mad. And most importantly, the record dealers mad because they said, well, you can't give away that. What are we going to sell? And then he tried to pull all the videos off YouTube. Remember that? And now it's all the images off the fan sites. He's either getting some really bad advice or he had maybe he ate a bad shrimp or something. And he's losing it.
I hear shrimp can cause people to do that.
That's all it is. Now go ahead. What was the joke?
Oh, he sounds a little bit like a chipmunk.
I think I agree.
Okay, it didn't come across that well.
He sounds just like a chipmunk.
It sounds like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
No, it sounds like you have like a record and you've sped it up, like you're playing it on the wrong speed. Maybe, yeah, it's not
that's
so
bizarre. It's like maybe he thought, oh, I'll give him this because I can't really release it.
Yeah.
Because we recorded it at the wrong speed, so.
Yeah, it's out of his like junk recording.
Yeah, it's a junk recording.
Here you go. Yeah. This won't be on the album, but you internet people can have this. That's not good.
Hey, do you think it's a bad... have you seen my picture on my Facebook page lately?
Yeah, I think so. Is that the one where you look like you're in a Bob Dylan video?
Yeah. No, this one I'm wearing a three-piece suit. This is a little later in life.
Okay.
Take a look at it. I want your opinion on it.
Okay. But you're making me laugh. You've set it up so that I'm going to laugh at
whatever. I'm just curious what you think of this picture.
I just posted here the other day, so I'm sure that I saw it.
No, I changed it.
Hold on a second. I'm going to go look at it. Oh, I'm sure it's great, Leo. Why are people making fun of you?
Yeah. Well, I'm worried that maybe it's a little too upfront.
Oh, Leo.
Are you seeing it?
Yeah. Are you carrying like a... is there a man walking on you?
There's a man walking... No, well...
Is that a bomb?
Yes, it is.
It's a bomb.
Rick Yeager posted the best comment. Because I look a little like Harry Potter in there.
Sure do.
So he says, the wand chooses the wizard, Harry. Which I thought was funny. This is from college, and we're actually sitting on a... that's my roommate Carrie's foot right in front of me there, and we're sitting on a scaffolding. But I probably should change that picture, shouldn't I?
No, it's pretty funny.
I don't want to send the wrong message. I don't use drugs, but when I was in college, I might have inhaled once or twice, and I guess that was just a prop. It was a prop from the college days.
Very nice. I'm a big fan. It's very good, Leo.
You know, I don't have... I said I'll accept all the offers, but it hasn't been going crazy. I only have... I did a couple hundred yesterday. I don't even have 1,000 friends yet.
Oh, yeah, but it'll grow. It'll grow gradually.
Yeah, it's probably better that way. You know what I've been doing, though, which is fun? This is kind of marketing, but it's fun. When you have this many friends, every day, a number of them have birthdays. Oh, I'm pressing the wrong button. Oops. I was just ignoring some of them. I have to say yes, not ignore them. Oh, crud. Oh, if I just ignored you, just apply again. I'm sorry. I'm pressing. It's such a pain. Is there an easier way to accept friends? It's
no.
2 clicks for every one of them. I don't know how you do 5,000 of these. Anyway, so I've been sending birthday greetings to all the people on my friends when it's their birthday.
Aw.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's very fun. That's the way I remember people's birthdays now. It's pretty pathetic. Yeah, it's a big one.
And when you have, a few thousand friends, I imagine that you probably every day you send out 7 or 8. And that's cool. And it's a way to kind of... The president does that. When you're over 100, you get a card from the president. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Our president, not your president.
Would he send me a card being in Canada?
No,
and all?
He wouldn't. But you'll find out in about 70 years when you're 100. You'll get a card.
I can't wait.
Who will be the president 70 years from now? There won't even be a president. You know what? Canada and the U.S. will have merged by then. Because we want your money.
Yes, how things have changed.
We want your loonies.
Yes. Now I take a cab home from work, and I just got back from the States, and I have American money, and I'm giving it to the cab driver, and he's like, I'm not sure if we're taking American
money. They don't want
money. And I'm like, what? Funny. You used to love this money.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know. It's so bizarre. So bizarre.
Are people coming down south of the border to buy stuff now in the States?
Yes.
It's
in
cheap.
Droves. In droves. Yeah, like crazy, because it's so much cheaper, especially books. I actually noticed the big difference on
books are so much cheaper. I don't know what. We gouge you on books in Canada.
The list price, there's such a difference, and now it makes a lot of sense to actually bought a bunch of books in the States. I bought a bunch of Dalai Lama books because I met the Dalai Lama here a couple of weeks ago.
You met the Dalai Lama?
No, it was, I was going to a press conference that he had with about 30 people in the press, and I did this behind the scenes video with him that I posted on my blog. And I just met him in the sense that we shook hands and I have it on video.
Wow. Did you say, do you call him Mr. Lama? How do you greet
him? I just giggled. And
he giggles too. He's a big giggler.
He is the best giggler in the world. You always think, oh, don't giggle because it's not the mature thing to do. Well, after I saw the Dalai Lama, I realized that that man has the best giggle in the entire world. It's just so infectious. It's wonderful.
So you're there, you're walking up, he's wearing his orange robes. Mm-hmm. And do you say anything or you just shake his hand or?
I just smile and he shakes my, and he's like, you know, going around kind of talking to people, but you can't really hear him because there's a bunch of people crowded around him.
When do you giggle? At what point did you giggle?
I just kind of smile. You kind of giggle the whole time you're there because he giggles so much.
That's so neat.
He tries to be serious and he'll talk about something and then he'll just go.
I think that's a sign he's enlightened.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's wonderful. It's so literally so infectious. I think for like a couple of days after that, I was just in the best mood because it was just wonderful to see him speak. And
I think if you were enlightened, you would laugh all the time, right? Yeah. You would go, "This is silly.
Yeah.
Life is silly, really."
Exactly. You would have to,
you
and
wouldn't
it is.
Take it seriously. Even the bad stuff, you wouldn't take seriously. It's just life.
Yeah. You just giggle.
What does he sound like? What does his giggle sound like?
It's like, oh, but it's much deeper than that, but he's got this like really funny little giggle and this great smile. So it's fun. I'm sure people went on YouTube and just,
I'm going to find it right now. I'm going to get a giggle of the dialect. You know, I love the internet. You can find almost anything.
Oh yeah. Almost anything.
Dalai Lama giggle.
Much anything. I'm sure there's got to be him giggling out here somewhere. I think he's known for his little giggle.
He giggles a lot.
Let's see. Giggle, 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 giggle.
I've got pictures of him giggling and poking. He pokes people in their bellies and then giggles.
Gotta find it. Yeah.
Did he poke you in your belly? You should have asked for a poke. Actually, that didn't come out right. Never mind. So I can't find a giggle, but I'm sure there's some. I'll keep looking while we talk some more. What other links do you have?
Well, I have one more link, actually.
Wait a minute, here it is. I think I found some. Dalai Lama's giggle. Let's see if this is it.
So, and the scholars, I'm looking forward to a complete retirement.
He does. He laughs. He's like talking about serious stuff and he just laughs.
I know.
That's so
he's
funny.
He's just like, I can't believe I'm here. This is crazy.
He's so cute.
He's so cute.
I think that's why anybody would, if you just giggled, if you wore orange clothes and giggled, people
life
would love
be
you.
Good. Yeah. I totally agree.
And you don't
totally.
Have to carry a big bong around. You just, people would love you.
A lesson you could have learned in college, Leo.
Believe me, had I known. But see, I've learned so much in the intervening years.
This is a good thing for all of us. You know what, Leo? I think I might save my last link for the next show.
Yeah, and I'm not trying so long.
I know we're so long, and I'm not trying to, you know, tease like you are. But the only reason is it's about web design software, and it's a question from one of our listeners. Yeah, that's right. I'm like, what are we doing?
This
right
is the
now?
Only audio thing you do, because so you want to save viewers all the time. But this, I know, is, like, this is her audio experience.
Yeah, so we'll save it for next week. But we're going to talk about what is the best web design software for
Perfect.
Next week.
Oh, I'll have some things to say. And you know what's great is it's good to end with the Dalai Lama's giggle.
Oh yes.
What better way to end a show?
Exactly. Where can we go from there?
Nowhere. We're
Nowhere.
Done. Amber, great to talk to you. Watch Amber on Web Nation. You can go to citynews.ca/webnation and see it online. Soon to be weekly, any day now. Oh, I don't know how you're going to do that.
Whew. Oh, we'll see, Leo. I don't know how anything comes together, but it tends to happen.
She's magic, that's how. CommandN.tv is where you should go to see her video podcast. That's going great with Will Pate.
Yep, we're having lots of fun. It's getting cold, so you'll start seeing us shiver.
I remember those shows, those icy shows.
Yes.
Oh, you're on the beach this week. That's fun. Nice.
Oh, yeah,
toasty,
that was lots of fun.
Beach. Yeah, yeah. And I like your pirate costume, too.
Thank you. It took some time.
Did it really?
No. But it was still fun. We were like web pirates, get it? A little geek humor.
And, of course, we'll be back next week with another Net at Night, right?
Yes, for sure.
All right. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you. Have a great night.